Give us those sultry tones, Martin.
Hold on, let me hit record. I'm saving these for myself for later.
Yeah. I'm just saving these in the old mental banks, as it were.
Yeah, the only thing better than spanking it to porn is listening to Martin talk while you do it.
I think we can all agree that that is the truth.
I'm not sure I would agree.
Well, you know, don't be quiet, like, keep talking, but, like, don't disagree with what we're saying. Hold on, I'm almost done.
Yeah, just say yes a whole bunch.
Tell me how I'm bad for believing that, you know, how I'm just such a really bad boy for believing that.
Martin, could you do me just a really quick favor and say mash potatoes really slowly?
Mash potatoes.
Oh my god.
By the way, I am recording, and I'm guaranteeing some of this footage is ending up in the end of the episode as post-credit shit, so.
Every time we swear, can you overlay mash potatoes? Just like.
Dude, I will be doing that shit all day. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I mean, I'm recording this, so I'm definitely putting mashed potatoes. You don't even have to be censoring shit. I'm just playing.
Just whatever you want.
I want Martin saying mashed potatoes to, like, be featured on your show, Wes. Just fucking edit that shit in at a weird time.
Yeah.
If you send me the audio file, I can
guarantee
you that will happen.
Oh, I'm doing it then. I will cut
that. I'll manipulate it so that when someone casts a spell, it's like the sound that happens.
I have nothing to do with it. I'm doing that. I'll make sure to send you that file.
Like you're doing dominate beast or monster or something, and they whisper it. They're like mashed potatoes,
and then
you're like, I will do whatever you want. Like, you want to kill my friends? I will.
I'm done. Yeah. It actually changes the text of the spell to allow them to do it, things they would not normally do.
Right. Perfect. Speaking of dead things in our drawers.
Yo.
Hashtag my love life.
See, I like where the conversation's going, because, like, when you say it like that, it's like, is he talking about furniture or underwear?
Right.
Oh. Who knows?
I changed my topic for this episode just now.
Okay.
To what?
Things you keep in your drawers. Interpret it however you like.
Okay, I'm changing it.
All right.
Okay,
right. That's right, folks, it's time for the Nerdy Point of View podcast, where we explore the nerdier side of life via random topics that we come up with and discuss for your entertainment. I'm one of your hosts, the literal worst, Brian Penaloza. With me today is the pun master herself, Carrie Lyons.
Hello, hello.
And of course, the villain of the show, Martin Franklin.
Hello.
And we have a special guest with us today. That's right, back-to-back weeks with guests. Today we have the podcast supervillain, Wes Cordell.
I was so worried you weren't going to bring up that I was a villain, but I'm glad you did, because I am.
And I'm sure this episode will prove that.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are a DM, so, you know, by virtue, you must be some kind of villain.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't even like Dungeons & Dragons. I just like ruining my player's day once a week.
He hates playing, but my God, if the tears of his players do not make him get through that day.
It's the only thing that gets me through my week, really.
Okay. Well, don't forget, we are also sponsored by DiceBard. Go to DiceBard.com and check out their outstanding selection of dice. They've got the glow-in-the-dark dice, which are super rad. My favorite set of dice, the rainbow dice. And if you like metal... What?
Me too. I got excited.
No, I don't blame you. Rainbow dice are just so fucking rad. I just absolutely love them.
They are. I love them.
30 minutes of my session is me holding them up to the light and admiring them.
Oh, God, and if you like metal dice, which I do, they got you covered there as well, plus many more styles and colors. DiceBard has everything you need to play Dungeons & Dragons, if all you need is dice. And, of course, don't forget to use the discount code NERDY for your free expedited shipping on your order. Gives you a little something, gives us a little something, helps us keep the show on the air. Because it turns out, regardless of if you're monetized or not, it actually costs money to keep a podcast on the air, because there's websites and shit, so... Thank you so much for your support. With that, let's jump into some topics. Wes, I want to start with you.
Yeah, I had a topic that I feel like everybody got really excited about. I wanted to talk about what everyone's least favorite flavor of Tum is.
I knew you were going to fuck with us like that.
Yeah.
You can smell it. I've been sitting here waiting and like giggling to myself, turning my mic off. I was like, ooh.
Okay, for real. Gonna get them.
oh, I'm gonna fuck them up. I think that gaming is near and dear to all of our hearts, and I think that a lot of people, even if they don't live a certain lifestyle like we do, where we are overly obsessive with certain kinds of games, I think everybody has that one game that they remember, like that meant something really important to them. And I think that specifically for people like us and the people listening, there is one game that goes further than that. It's the game that turned you on to gaming, specifically video games. And I just wanted to know what game it was for you guys. Like, what kind of flipped that switch where you're like, oh, I could play this game for the rest of my life. I'm a gamer. I love this. I play this all the time. Even when my mom tells me I'm grounded and I'm a child baby person, which is what you call little baby people, I think.
A child baby person?
I believe the politically correct term is little people.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So when you're a little people, the game that meant the most to you and it kind of turned you on to playing video games.
I mean, now, when you say turned you on, so.
Yeah. I mean, like, you opened a private browser. And...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
See, I like to live on the edge. I don't open a private browser. I'm like, fucking, go ahead, check my history.
Dude, Mark Zuckerberg is everything you're looking at right now.
You know, I like to think that Mark Zuckerberg is, like, sitting there, like, smacking it around at the same time I am, just looking at the same shit, like, when he's looking at my history.
Right. See, because now I'm kind of into that. I like the idea that he knows what I'm looking at, and he's like, oh, that is my fetish. I'm like, whoa, Mark.
So what you're saying is, like, the two of you could get into, like, you could be like the Jaeger pilots from Pacific Rim. Like, that's how in sync you guys are.
Oh, my God.
Like the same just time. Going stroke for stroke.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine the United States government being like, I don't know why we thought it was a good idea that two guys who masturbated to the same porn would be able to save the world from this child.
By the way, this is the fastest any of our topics have ever derailed.
Yep. It's because I'm here talking about little people. Okay, can I re-rail us? And can I also coin the term re-rail?
Re-rail.
I mean, it depends on, give us a definition for re-rail.
It's exactly what you think. I'm opening a private browser right now. Okay, no, for real, here we go. My game, it's so simple and it's so easy and it's like I played it yesterday all the time. It was Final Fantasy VII. I had a Nintendo, I had Super Nintendo, I had it all. And I loved Mario, like with my whole heart and soul. I loved Mario, especially Mario 2. But the experience that I had when I played Final Fantasy VII was so different. I was enthralled with it. Like, I remember they had these commercials that used to air. I don't know if you guys remember this, but they pretended it was a movie coming out. And then when the game had almost come out, they announced it was actually a game. And the graphics, though they're like kind of laughable now, back then it was mind-blowing. It was like, oh my God, this has to be like the latest and greatest game. And I just remember even being young and not fully understanding the story that was going on. The battle system was incredible. I was obsessed with the way the materia worked. The bosses were so cool. I love the story. I love the characters. I love everything about it. I beat that game 5 times back to back to back when I first got it.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I remember seeing the same thing. And this was before I actually had a PlayStation myself, but my buddy did. And I remember I was hanging out over at his house, and his mom walks into the room. She's like, hey, I got a gift for you. It's really cool. And he pulls out this game called Final Fantasy VII. And prior to that, I only remember like Final Fantasy on NES. And that was when I was way too young to understand anything that was happening in that game. So I thought it was dumb. So he pops it in, and the opening CG cutscene was like, first time I'd seen anything like that in games. And I'm just like, oh, shit. And as he's playing the game, I'm sitting there for just hours just watching, completely enthralled. So I totally know what you mean about that game. Like, you know, it was one of the first ones to do anything like that with like story and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember the first scene you're talking about so clearly. It's got Aeris and she's sitting there picking flowers in the middle of Midgar, and it slowly goes in on her, and she's like looking in a hole in the wall or something, and she sees all these stars, and like you know, later in the game you realize it's the life energy of the planet that she's able to cipher that no one else can. Oh man, that game means so much to me, and I love it so much. And it's funny that you talk about how your friend's mom brought it in as a gift, because I grew up very poor. And I never really got to see my dad a lot. And one time I came over to his house, and he would do this thing for me and my brother. He would go to the pawn shop and just buy as many games as he could. And there would be like 1 out of 20 games would be playable. Like it was these ridiculous games, man. And Final Fantasy VII ended up in one of those boxes that he would buy. And it's just, you know, we would go through them and play through the games, and I started playing it, and I never set it down. I didn't play another game for probably a year.
Nice. That's pretty powerful when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Final Fantasy VII like wasn't the first video game that really got me into video games, but it was one of the first early RPGs that I got into that really got me into that kind of system.
Yeah.
I think also, like, for me, thinking about it, that's the first game that made me realize how much I like game soundtracks.
Oh my god. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, absolutely. I think the opening bombing mission, I think it's called, is just like, still to this day when I hear that, there's not many game. Yeah. Like, sound is hugely important, and that game did it hella right.
Yeah.
Hell yes. Yeah.
So I think we're all in agreement that Final Fantasy VII is everyone's favorite game.
Moving on. It's not even my favorite Final Fantasy game. That's the problem.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, God, if you want controversial Final Fantasy opinions, then...
Oh. Here come the one-star reviews. You did it to yourself.
Actually, okay, quick, just to go off on another quick tangent, Griff, or sure. Martin, I need to know, what is your favorite Final Fantasy, then?
My favorite Final Fantasy is 8.
I knew you were going to say 8. At first I was like 10, like everybody else. I was like, nah, this guy's a piece of garbage. He likes
8. Oh. Right.
10 is great because we did get the wonderful thing of Tidus laugh, which is amazing.
Oh.
No, like, I really, really love 9. 7, like, I cannot give enough praise to 7, but 8 will always be my favorite.
See, I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to say 10 for one reason. For one reason.
The cutscenes. Let me guess.
When I played 7, I was too young really still to get the full gravity of the story and what was happening in that game. Mm-hmm. By the time 10 came out, I was old enough to really appreciate a story in a game.
Right.
And it is the first game that ever made me tear up. So.
Aww. Okay.
Plus, yeah.
Oh, I've admitted crying on the show a lot of times.
Hey, man.
I'm a big fat fucking crybaby.
Sorry, guys. I'm with Wes on this and Final Fantasy VII for me. Totally.
Yeah.
You would be, traitor.
We are the. What was it called? What was it? Life? What was it? Life Force? What was it called? Livestream. The Livestream.
That's it. Livestream.
Yes, Livestream. We are on the same Livestream. I will. Okay, wait. Can I break off on one more tangent?
How many tangents are we on right now?
Martin was talking about how 8 was really cool, like, important to him, and I totally get that. You know, I'm giving you shit because 7's obviously better. But I remember playing 8. Okay, do you guys remember this? If you would go to Pizza Hut when you were a kid, they had demos for the PlayStation, and you could take them home, and there were demos on them. They had, like, Crash Bandicoot Racing demos, and they had Final Fantasy VIII was one of the demos, and that's how I played it. I played the first 30 minutes of Final Fantasy VIII, probably not exaggerating, about 80 times.
Wow.
Never played the full game, though.
I've never beaten it either, actually. I get through, like, the first two discs, and then something always happened, like my save got corrupted, or the memory card got broken. Or something always happened and I never finished it.
That's what happened with me to Legend of Dragoon.
Oh, I love that fucking
game. I never got to finish it. I'm so upset.
I remember Legend of Dragoon too because one of my friends was like, oh, you like Final Fantasy VII, you like this. And it was just too tedious and repetitive and I just felt like nothing new ever really happened in the game.
How
even though
dare
I
you.
Dude did love it. Hey, man.
How dare you. Get off our show.
I just love how, like, fractious a lot of these statements are.
Do you remember in Legend of Dragoon where you first learned that you can do your dragon form? It's like your limit break in that game. You can do your dragon form and then literally nothing else happens for 8 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure we're talking about the same game.
Yeah. We're talking about that revolutionary game where the battle system was so much fucking fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
You're only saying that so I don't kick you off the show.
Let's reel back through some of the tangents right now. Let's go back through, four or five different tangents. So, favorite game, Final Fantasy VII. And I think that's a pretty, strong statement. I feel like that is definitely up there as being, a game that made a lot of people fall in love with games, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's just not as good as 10.
Or 8.
How?
So, on that, my one, I'm going to go back console generations to the SNES. I guess it was the SNES for you guys. And A Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past.
Yeah, dude.
my get, like you said you'd play Seven forever. If I never had to play another game again, I'd play A Link to the Past again and again and again. Like, again, a game where sound is important. I almost tear up when I hear like the like that beginning like jingle when it turns on. Oh my god.
You know what I remember doing in that game, because we had it as well, and I was perpetually frustrated with it, was charging up my sword and going into town and hitting the cuckoos
and
running across the map from all of them.
So often.
There's so many things in that that just, like, when you go back, like, when you go back and look at it now, like, objectively, some of it is very strange, but it just worked so well in that game. I think there are, like, the whole light and dark world and stuff. I mean, it, like, for me, I guess, like, the two biggest franchises are Zelda and Final Fantasy, like, in my gaming life. So, growing up to those,
How did you feel about, like, Ocarina of Time coming out? Was that, like, life-changing for you when that game came out?
Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of people would say, like, that's the one, but because, I guess, because it didn't begin there for me, that's never going to be my, like, game. But, like, yeah, I don't know, like, I feel like it was genuinely really, really enjoyed that game, but I found it a more frustrating experience because of, it felt like all the flaws in that game are far more obvious than they are in Link to the Past, because Link to the Past is so complete and it kind of does what it does so well.
Right.
Whereas Ocarina of Time is glitchy and buggy and you're fighting against the camera
but
sometimes.
I loved it.
And I mean, yeah, it's a gorgeous game. Like, again, I've played that. I've owned that on every, I probably own more copies of that than I own copies of Skyrim, and that feels impossible.
Oh my god,
damn.
I have Skyrim on my toothbrush. I don't know how you
right, exactly. I was playing on my microwave while I was waiting for my dinner the other day, and it's just, but yeah, like, I did, like, Ocarina of Time is phenomenal, but again, like, maybe I just have this thing where I just like the simplicity almost of, plus again, it was like the first game I probably played with, like, where my parents got involved.
Oh,
and I think it has that attachment too. Like, I remember them both playing it and seeing their save files with all this stuff while mine is like 50%. Yeah, and like mine, I've got like a few because I was still learning how to play games and stuff, you know? So it has that sentimental value. Whereas Ocarina of Time was my game and I played it. The same is with Final Fantasies, I suppose. Like, I remember Sundays laying down, I'd wake up at like 8, 9 on a Sunday, and then probably not move from my stomach on my bed until like 8, 9 in the evening. And like my whole body would hurt from just laying there playing Final Fantasy.
You know, I just got the weirdest sensory memory that I have not thought about in so long from you describing that. I'm remembering when I was a kid, I would do the same thing and how badly my eyes would hurt after I've got them playing for an entire day, like how dry they were and how irritated they were.
Yeah, it's a really strange thing, and like nowadays I feel guilty if I do that, and it's like, oh, but that's like the purest, like, throwback to, you know, enjoying something when you were young, you know.
Yes, Saturday morning cartoons and then video games. That's how it fucking works.
Absolutely.
But I'm gonna segue to my answer before we fucking jump the track
here.
Oh,
dude, I'm gonna derail.
Yeah.
And then re-rail and derail and.
Yeah, re-rail, derail.
Yeah. But I'm actually going to say, I don't know if you guys will know this one or not. There's this old arcade game, and I played this religiously. Like, I don't know how much money I spent on this thing. Definitely more than what my parents wanted me to at the time. But it was called Wonder Boy.
Oh, and that's an AC/DC song?
It's about this guy, actually. No, this is going to make no fucking sense, but he was pretty much this, like, caveman-looking fucking kid on a skateboard.
Wait,
was this Canadian?
I need to set this up.
No!
Sound familiar.
Holy shit. Tell me if this was a part of the game or not, okay?
Yeah.
Was there a part of the game where you rode across long-necked dinosaurs' necks?
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
I know what you're talking about. Did he have a club? Was his weapon like a club?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember this game.
It was so fun, but so fucking hard. And that's why I spent so much money and why I played it so religiously, because it's not one of those games. Obviously, it's arcade. You can't fucking save. You die.
Right.
You're back to the beginning. So I wanted to beat this game, and I don't think I ever did as a kid, but I think I ran out of money before I ever could.
Bankrupt.
Yeah, we had to sell the house. It was, you know, it was the dog or the arcade, and, you know. No, but this game, like, it, this, I think this was the very first game I became obsessed with, where I just spent countless hours, like, kids were out there, you know, swimming and having fun and doing all this shit. No, I'm just sitting there banging on this arcade game.
Doing fucking nasty-ass kickflips off a dinosaur neck.
I mean, that seems badass to me. Keep your fucking water slide.
I'm, hang on. I'm looking up gameplay of this right now.
Got, like, yeah. Live reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. We had this, I played probably every game you can think of, because when we were growing up, we lived right beside a video rental place, and, you know, they had all the games and stuff, and me and my brother would always go down there when we got, like, a dollar and go rent whatever game we hadn't played.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask, did anyone else have the experience of having a guy that used to come around, and he, like, he'd had a van, and...
I did have the same experience, but I want to let you know before you finish, no one is going to be able to relate to what you're about.
This is a safe space. And he just used to have all the games. We had, like, a game guy that used to come round.
So I would call myself if I did that.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It does sound, now I think about it.
I mean, that happened to me at the park once. Some guy rolled up in a white van with no windows and said, hey kid, I got lots of video games in the back. Games? If you just climb all the way to the back, you'll find a big box of video games.
Right. And Brian, tell me if I'm mistaken, but I'm still sitting in his basement right now recording.
I actually escaped, but I got a really good nap beforehand. You know?
Oh, incredible. Did you, are these your fingernails on the wall over here?
It depends. Are there three of them at various heights in the wall?
Yeah, absolutely. And it looks like you painted them black?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That wasn't actually me painting them black. That was the gangrene setting in.
Oh, okay. Well, I ate them.
Speaking of things that are horrifying, that actually makes me think of my game.
Yes.
And it's not. It's hard to say it's the game that got me into games or anything like that, but I will say it's one of the earliest, most influential games in my life, because ultimately, like, Mario Brothers is what got me hooked onto games, but I don't want to give that answer. Mm-hmm. I will say Resident Evil 2.
Oh, I was hoping.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I was in probably, I don't know, 6th or 7th grade, and my buddy had it at his house, and I went over to his house for, like, a birthday party for, like, his brother or something. And they had it up on the TV and nobody was playing it. So I just kind of sat down and grabbed the controller and I was there all fucking night. And it was revolutionary to me because at that age, I was already, like, writing short horror stories all the time. Right. And, like, horror was my jam and I couldn't get enough. And I didn't realize that video games could do horror the way that Resident Evil was doing horror.
Ugh, I know.
Where it was just very, like, you know, you had no resources. Like, the best plan most of the time was just to run. And those few times that you couldn't run, it was very tense because if you ran out of bullets, you were fucked.
Yes.
And, you know, you had hard save points.
You hope there's a fern in the next box you bring.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely the first Resident Evil game I ever played and finished. And it's just, you know, then going through and playing with a second character, it was like, holy shit, it's like two different games, even though it's still pretty much the same game. But it was just really, really, really cool. And ended up making Leon Kennedy one of my favorite video game characters of all time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But
I would love to touch on this for a second because my brother and I love Resident Evil 2. It was the other game we would play. When I was done playing Final Fantasy VII, he would play Resident Evil 2. And I remember it all the time because you would start the game up and it would go, Resident Evil 2. But we were playing, I mean, we've played every Resident Evil and we love most of them, but I remember we were playing Resident Evil 4, which also has Leon in it, and we were playing through 4 and it was really fun. Leon! And we were playing through 4 and, excuse me, we were talking about it and I was like, you know, when we were kids, I remember 2 being so much scarier. Like, like just exponentially scarier than this. And we talked about it and rationalized it as like, oh, we were kids, you know, it was just scarier then. But we picked up a copy of it. And what was actually the scariest part of the game is, do you remember the aiming system in that game?
you would
draw a bead, and once you aimed your gun, you could barely move.
Yeah.
You would like try to turn your body around while this zombie was like crawling toward you, and you would just like very slowly be turning. This thing's like coming to rip your jugular out. And we played it as adults, and we're like, no, this is definitely way scarier than Resident Evil 4. We were like,
is that screaming. Like, that feeling of helplessness is like exaggerated by just the inability to actually control yourself properly.
Right. Yep. And probably to Brian's point, it was a little scarier because you had like one gun with three bullets, and in four you have like a rocket launcher that never runs out of bullets. And so that makes you feel a little more powerful in the situation.
And just to derail ever so slightly as is our theme on this one, that's why like 7 was so good. When 7 came out, it was like, my God, okay, they actually kind of got this right again. And then they released DLC that is basically you punching things like you're in a Capcom fighting game, and it becomes super arcadey again. And it's like they took like almost, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like a pure Resident Evil, but like you're actually kind of struggling for ammo at certain points of 7. And they actually kind of went back to these roots, and then they kind of undid it with this DLC that's like, and now everything just turns into red mist because you're punching it. And it's like, that's not what makes Resident Evil Resident Evil. No. What makes Resident Evil is going, I've got 4 shots left.
Right.
And I know there's something in this next room. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's beyond that. So what the hell am I going to do?
Further is you. I remember very specifically standing outside of a door and being like, yeah, we're not going to go in there. And turning around and playing the game in reverse from the point we were at, hoping to find like one more bullet.
So maybe there might be something.
Also, special shout out to Resident Evil 7 in VR. Because, oh wow, what a terrifying experience that is.
Right.
I haven't tried
I can handle it.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, Resident Evil, the very first time I played that was babysitting. And I just stumbled on it. The kid was sleeping. I was like, I'm fucking bored. I was checking out his video games. He had Resident Evil. I've heard about it. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll check it out. Okay,
you died that night, didn't you? You're a ghost now, and you died that night.
No, the kid's missing. I mean, I don't know what happened.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Did the guy with the van come by?
Yeah, I was about to ask what his name was, because there's a kid in here with me right now.
Paul? Paul, is that you?
Hey, oh, it is. He's eating Paul, give me my fingernails back. That's my food.
Oh, you know, still, it's better than the dinners he got at home.
We're developing like a whole canon that's going on right now. This is amazing.
I like it.
We've got like a cinematic universe now.
Oh, God.
I feel like I have to point this out. This kid, Paul, his version, like his parents were not great cooks at all. His version that he knew of spaghetti was literally noodles with ketchup on.
Huh. Oh,
Paul, I felt so bad. Yeah, that's like a treat to him right now.
He's a glutton.
You actually never got to finish your thought on that, though, about the original Resident Evil?
Oh, yeah. No, I was just so into it that I actually did. Like, I played that the whole... Every time I was a kid, back when people trusted me with their children, I literally, like, played this game 4 hours. I could not put it down. It was the coolest fucking game because it was so scary. Because at home, anyone will tell you, I was overprotected as a kid. I did not get to watch scary movies or... remotely violent movies. I just was not allowed to see this shit. So all of a sudden I go over to this place and play this video game, and I'm like, oh my God, this is nothing like Sonic.
Right. No, that's a true statement.
Yeah.
Although, can I just say, one of the simultaneous most like angst inducing sounds in video games is the Sonic drowning sounds.
Oh, like, no.
If you want to torture yourself, set that as your alarm for the morning. My word.
Yeah.
Just wake up sweating.
No, don't do it. No one deserves that.
No.
Oh God. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to trying that out. And that reminds me, Martin, you have a topic for us.
Yeah, you're looking forward to trying that out. What's everyone else looking forward to? Do you like that? Hey, no, I just want to know, like, what are you looking forward to? Like, what's going on? What's coming up? Like, to put that question into context, I sat down the other day and just. You know, like anxieties, things like that, they come up, things happen, trying to ground myself. And I was thinking, in 2 weeks, I get to go see one of my favorite musicians live in Bristol, like at a pretty decent gig. I've not been to a proper gig in a long time. And I was like, damn, do you know what? I'm looking forward to that. I booked a couple tickets to go to a convention called CoxCon, which is for Jesse Cox, the YouTuber Super Beer Bros, a few people like that are going to be there, like people I enjoy watching. And I was like, do you know what? I've got a few things lined up, things I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to a different kind of CoxCon, but
I think we're going to different conventions.
See you there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm really looking forward to the Prince Albert booth.
Oh.
No.
That reminds me of a story.
Oh, maybe we are going to the same convention.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, where I hang out.
One of my friends told me once, he's a tattoo artist / piercist, and this guy he knew or came into the shop was telling him one time that he was drunk and decided to give himself a Prince Albert with a nail gun.
Oh.
Well, he nailed his dick to the slab of wood and had to go to the ER that way.
God.
Yep.
I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can't imagine. Did you say he was drunk? Because it sounds like he might have been doing meth.
Well, around here, I wouldn't honestly put it past it. So, so all those private browsers just suddenly closed right now.
No, I'm actually opening another one up.
Yeah. Obviously, the amount of Got Wood jokes there are kind of.
Where was I on that? Damn it!
I feel like I'm too visual a person to be talking about stuff like this.
This is really visceral for you, right?
Well, then why don't you just tell us what you're looking forward to? Because clearly it's not nailing your dick to a piece of wood.
Well, you know, I was going to say that until I realized how strange a thing it was, and I just changed mine. This is funny, and this is going to sound like we planned this, but really, I was, just before we started recording this episode, I was at brunch and having Bloody Marys and talking to my bartender, who is a player on my podcast, and we were talking about what I think I am most excited about right now, which is the remake of Final Fantasy VII finally coming out this year.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Wait, is it this year?
I'm pretty sure they finally nailed it. Ha! In.
To ha! Oh.
But no, I think this year that they finally committed to November of 2019.
Way sooner than I thought that games. Game would ever come out.
Yeah. Same. And so I am excited for it and have been excited for it for years, and every time it's kind of funny because I've never gotten mad at them, I've just gotten kind of anxious about it because they keep postponing it, but every time they leak even an image, it just like makes my whole week. I'm so excited for them to remake that game.
I just hope what happens to Andromeda doesn't happen to this, because I was super excited for that, and well, if you played on Andromeda, you know,
I feel like, and here's my hope for it, right? Because it's almost one of those things where you wonder if it's better left in the past, and if the nostalgia of it does it better service than a remake of it would do. But I like to imagine that with the new director of Final Fantasy and the direction that Final Fantasy XV went in, and the amount of time that they have taken on this game, it's going to do all of the justice that I need it to do.
Plus, remastered soundtrack as well. Like, I'm just going to go back to the soundtrack thing. Like, is just, yes, please.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I'm tentative on it. Like when they first announced it, I lost my shit. Then when I saw what they were doing with it, I was less excited because I was like, it's not really the remake I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it a chance. And then I was like, and this is Square, so what they announced is like two, 3 years ago at this point. I just remember thinking, oh, we're not going to see that game till 2020, maybe 2022, knowing how they work. So I just immediately started ignoring anything about it because I was just going to let the wait happen without me really paying attention. So to find out it's coming out this year is kind of a shock to me.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny because I had the same hesitations that you do for the game. But when they announced that they were going to rework and use the Kingdom Hearts battle system, I think Kingdom Hearts has the best battle system in any game ever made, period. It is such a rewarding played. Oh, its battle system is so rewarding, especially in 2, because you really feel like you're doing it. Like, you have dodge moves, and you have roll moves, and you have attacks, and like there's enough to where it feels like a video game and it's not overly mechanical like Dark Souls, which I love and I have no problem with, but like there's just enough manual control in the battle system to where you feel like you did it and not like the game auto-locked onto something for you.
Right. Sometimes the Final Fantasy games can feel a little bit like a puzzle. Like, combat can feel like a puzzle, because especially the ones where it's sort of true turn-based. Because it's sort of like you have to do the right thing at the right time to trigger the right effect, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So having a bit of dynamicness in there actually does make you feel a little bit more involved, right? That's why 15 was so good, in my opinion, for combat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I like the combat in 15, but I'm not going to lie. I would love a just modern-day turn-based Final Fantasy game, just because sometimes I miss that kind of combat. Like, that kind of combat was fun.
Have you played Persona 5?
Oh, my fucking God. I love that game so fucking
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's exactly what you're describing.
Yeah. No, it is, but I'm talking about, like, in a Final Fantasy, like, with that kind of Final Fantasy aesthetic and story.
Yeah.
With that kind of battle, because I love Persona 5, and, like, I love the Persona series, but it's definitely its own kind of stories.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So wouldn't it be great if you could just switch between the two? Because I know like that's always going to split people anyway, especially with combat in games. Some people don't like the stress that like dynamic like combat gives. And plenty of games have done that, where they just give you the option to play in like the ATB or whatever it's called.
That is true. Yeah, I remember them. They used to have that. Like you could choose what kind of mode. I mean, it was still turn-based, but it was a little bit different.
Right. I think 13 did it a bit. Like 13 was obviously the contentious one in a lot of people's lives. But...
with lightning? Oh my god.
Yeah, like I played 13 a hell of a lot. Like I grinded and grinded in that game, and then I realized I don't know why. Yeah. I had so many tabs open.
You know, I was the same way with 13, and I'm such a Final Fantasy fanboy that I wanted to love that game. I wanted to love it so much, and I just like kept making excuse after excuse, like, no, it's fun, I'm having a good time, whatever. I finally beat the game after many, many hours of playing, and when the credits started rolling, it just hit me. I was like, I did not enjoy that game at all. Like, I did not like that game.
It was not what you were after. Yeah.
You know, I had that same thing with, I don't know if you guys ever played Enchanted Arms. Or Enchanted Arm.
I know of it, but I never played.
It was back on Xbox 360, which, you know, towards the beginning of its lifestyle especially, did not have any RPGs to play. And it was like one of two RPGs in the big drought of them. And I was so desperate. I was like, I need something. And I got it. And I was playing it. And while I was playing it, I was convincing myself it wasn't bad. And then, like, you know, much like US, like, I got to the end of it. And I was like, I just wasted like 50 hours of my fucking time. Yeah, I hate myself for it.
You're just hoping for something to turn it around.
Do you know what the other game was on 360? I believe it was on 360. And I have not thought of this game since I beat it. But you saying that reminded me of it. Did you play Lost Odyssey?
Lost Odyssey. That rings a bell.
I looked at it and I was like, it looks like trash. I'm not doing
it. And it was. And I had the same experience. games, but I had the same experience. I was like, no, this is good. And I beat it and I was like, I hate myself. Why did I play that game?
Like, little known fact about me, but after I beat Enchanted Arms, that's when I had my first drink. And I was an alcoholic ever since.
All because of that.
That bad?
It was really bad.
That has a lot to answer for.
Like, I'm telling you, like, while I'm playing this, I'm trying to convince myself, this game is fun. I like how the battle system is. Like, it's different. It's unique. And then I got to the end of it. I was like, nope, I was lying to myself. Fuck everything. I'm going to be drunk for the rest of my life now.
And here we are.
Yeah.
I got to say, like, I never played any of the Final Fantasy past 10-2 because that fucking ruined it for me.
Oh, God, that game was bad.
What? You mean the one where they're like a girl band?
Yes, and they have a costume. Like,
what could possibly have ruined the Final Fantasy series?
Yeah, I have no idea.
This sexy outfit isn't the right sexy outfit to be this boss. Instead of being sexy samurais, we should be sexy gunslingers.
Yeah, or karaoke stars.
Oh my God, I forgot about the karaoke one.
Yes.
Or we should be three giant Moogles, but also...
Oh my God.
I'm going to admit something here. The game I didn't care for, there were a couple songs on the soundtrack that I kind of bopped my head to a little bit.
For sure.
I think you can bop your head. That's okay, yeah.
That's fine, yeah.
The saddest thing about it for me is it came out around Christmas, and I loved 10 so much that my mom asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I said, I want X2. And she said, okay, well, what else do you want? And I said, I literally do not want anything else.
Oh, no.
X2
for Christmas.
Wow.
And that's why I'm an alcoholic. So as long as I'm
That's a very sad story.
So that's it for
story.
Me with the fun.
Yeah.
I haven't played a Final Fantasy since.
I would definitely say that 12 is okay, actually. I bought the remaster. Hey, get on the MMO train. 14. Hell of a game.
14 is a lot
of fun. I love 14.
Is that fun?
Yeah.
I really, really enjoy 14.
It actually has a really good story.
Huh.
It's a bit weird to play with other people because you do get a bit segmented and stuff, but like when you get into dungeons and stuff, really, really cool. The fact you can have one character and have all the like classes on them just for me is perfect because I don't do alts. Like I can barely juggle having more than like three friends in real life. Like I'm not going to have like a different character for every class in your MMO. It's genuinely well up there. Plus the screenshot, you know, it's a pretty looking game and I'm not all about the aesthetic, but...
Yeah.
WoW is looking a little bit dated right now. Final Fantasy 14, yeah, it looks stunning.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Sorry, I think a bit of a gush about 14. Hey, we could 4-man parties.
Hey,
and it has crossplay between PC and PS4.
It does, yeah. Nice. Squeenix, can we get sponsored? We know you're listening, Square.
I mean, we couldn't even get DiGiorno to talk back to us. I doubt Square's gonna sponsor us.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, right? DiGiorno think they are. They put trash on bread. Like, tell them this.
Oh!
You know what? No, I'm going to agree with that because fuck DiGiorno for not ever getting back to us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Shit, DiGiorno, eat your own pizza. I have a DiGiorno pizza in my freezer right now. I'm being such a hypocrite.
Well, that's just because you hate yourself and you need something to wash the alcohol down with.
That's true. It's marinara.
Oh, God. So you know, DiGiorno is fun to follow on the internet. Speaking of internet, Carrie.
We haven't even all answered the question
yet.
I thought we did.
No,
it was
sorry.
Just me.
We kept derailing.
Stop segueing when we're not fucking done.
We're talking so much about so many things. I got confused. No. Fuck me, right?
You know what? The whole world doesn't know my favorite Taco Bell menu item now. And
did that happen?
That happened.
I'm still actually feeling a bit upset about that. That really threw
me. Now I feel bad. You know, because I always worry about doing that, and then it happened. I'm not talking anymore at all. You guys take the show away. I'm going. Okay.
No, good deal. What's you guys' favorite rodent, and what's your favorite feature of that rodent?
Can I say Rattata?
Oh, full circle. Holy shit.
We're done.
Okay, who hasn't?
Also, it's far better than Raticate, so definitely on point. Right.
No, you know what? You know what confused me is because we started talking about fucking video games again. That's what threw me.
I'm just really excited about video games.
So what is the video game that made you fall in love with video games?
No, I answered mine. It's, we're on... What are we looking forward to, right? That is the topic we're on.
Oh,
right
sorry.
Now.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at my list in the wrong order. Sorry.
Mine is actually a vacation coming up.
Oh, hey. That's nice.
Yeah, it's this October I'm going to be going to California for a month. And
very nice.
It's, dude, for Halloween, fucking right. I love Halloween. In fact, I'm spending it in California. Amazing. There's a lot of aspects I'm excited about, and you're probably going to see a lot of tweets from me when I'm there, so you're going to be right there with me, everyone. Sorry.
That's it. It's just, it means that we can have a vacation without having to have a vacation. So.
Hey, if you guys want to send me on vacations for you, I'm for hire.
Let me ask you something, Carrie.
Yeah.
Do you already know what you were going to dress up as?
I have a few ideas. One of them I'm thinking about is possibly a rogue from D&D. That'll depend if I have the money because I want to do that right.
Yeah,
right.
I think that would just be a really cool costume to do. Another one I've always wanted to do is Tank Girl.
Oh, that would be super cool.
Yes, I am a huge Tank Girl fan.
Me too.
Yes. So, like, I have... kind of the hair going for it. Like, I would definitely willing to shave it more if I needed to, but I just absolutely love the comic book. I love the movie. I don't care what people say about it.
I love the movie too.
So many people are so hard on the movie.
It's because, like, you cannot go into that movie expecting an Oscar-winning, like, heart-wrenching, you know, she is literally fucking kangaroo demons and, like, destroying the military. And, like, if you go into that movie expecting something else, like, you're the idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with Snakes on a Plane. You're not going in to watch it expecting a great movie.
No. Did you watch Snakes on a Plane and expect it to be more than it was? Because that's your fault.
Yeah, exactly. No, not me. I was going in perfectly knowing well what to expect.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think before I had even watched it, it had already become a meme. So I was like, I already knew. This is going to be cheesy as fuck. I'm expecting Samuel L. Jackson to say, I am sick of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Isn't it? It's sort of a case of snakes on a plane being like tropes in a film. Like, it's basically everything you'd expect it to be. You know, it knows it's a B-movie, you know. But
like Sharknado as well.
Right.
Brilliant.
Going love those movies. Yeah. But yeah, Brian, did you answer what you're looking for?
I don't think so. I had a bunch of smart-ass answers, but since we've already tangented enough, which I don't think is a word, but it is now, I actually, I reconnected with an old friend from like 13 years ago. We went and got drinks at a bar and hung out and chatted, and he gave me a really cool Poltergeist statue, which is nice. Awesome.
Wow.
And he had told me, we got talking about Marvel movies and whatnot, and he had two tickets to Infinity War opening night. And beautiful. He's like, yeah, he's like, if you want to go, he's like, yeah, you can totally go on with me. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing that. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to most, just seeing all my favorite fucking heroes just together. Because I'm a huge Marvel fanboy. Mm-hmm. I like DC well enough, but certainly not my favorite. So yeah, that's kind of the thing I'm looking most forward to, like the thing that's coming the soonest, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like, it's 10 years in the making, like, or more now as well, right?
Yeah.
That film.
Yeah. So.
I mean, but ultimately my real answer is probably a nap. Like catching any amount of rest, because I am always on. You know, if I'm not on at work, then I'm, you know, doing a show where I have to be on, or, you know, I'm recording a podcast, or I'm doing something where I'm like, I'm constantly always on. So those moments where I can like close my eyes and not be conscious are mm-hmm. pretty rad.
That's a solid answer.
Yeah.
Did we get Martin's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started off.
You did?
Okay. Yeah.
I did.
We're good.
And we got Wes too?
Yeah. Remember when we started talking about video games for three more hours?
That was
because of that. Was me. I'm all fucking, you guys have me paranoid now.
Here. So for my topic today, just to take the pressure off B for a second, internet Loingo, as I called it earlier, or Loingo. Loingo.
As long as we're talking about private tabs,
yeah,
I think we all know what internet Loingo is.
I have a few things that come to mind, and none of them PG, but yes.
I mean, we're not PG though, so.
Not at all.
You literally talked about fucking a pineapple.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring that up every week.
Yeah, I know you will. We're not revisiting that today, though. I'm gonna stick with this topic, and so internet lingo. How do you feel about it? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Is there one, for instance, that you really hate? For example, one that drove me crazy when it first came out, when Rolling on the Floor Laughing first came out, ROFL. You know, it was big. And then people needed to elaborate off that. And they're going, ha, waffle or waffle coaster. And it just drove me crazy. Like,
I'm physically cringing at Rafflecopter right now.
Yeah. Oh yes, that was another one.
Oh. I feel so attacked right now. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gross.
It's weird, right? The way things kind of exaggerate like that. But some of it can be quite helpful. Like I wasn't a huge fan of LOL to begin with, but I feel like it did fit a niche that pretty much, because haha always sounds really sarcastic in text form.
Well, only because you're British. Like, I use haha all the time, and I've never looked at it and been like, ooh,
I mean, sarcastic. I write it, but that's probably because I am being sarcastic all the time. But, like, LOL, it does kind of fit a thing. Mm-hmm. Stuff like ELI5, like, explain like I'm five. And like, I suppose, like, a lot of those terminologies, they're quite handy, quite useful.
But,
yeah, some of the more kind of, like, lol meme stuff. Not quite.
At the risk of talking way too much in one episode, I actually have a story about internet lingo I would like to share with you guys.
Lay it on
us. Do you all remember ASL?
Yes. Oh my god, yeah.
Hells
so
yeah.
I used to live in two places when I got home from school, besides Final Fantasy VII, because I only had that game at my dad's house. I was either playing Diablo 2 or I was in the AOL teen chat rooms, even though I was like 11. And I thought I was hot shit. And I was telling all these people, they would be like, ASL. And I'd be like, 16, you know? Oh, for those of you who don't know, let me backtrack and describe this a little bit to some listeners who may not know what I'm talking about.
That's ELI 5 for them.
Yeah, let me ELI 5 for you. When dial-up first came out, one of the biggest deals about it were chat rooms. And when you would talk to people, you would introduce yourself by your username, and they would say A/S/L? And that meant age, sex, and location. And so you would tell someone you were 16, you were a male, and you lived in North Carolina. And that would start.
Or if you're hilarious, you always put yes, please.
Yes. Yeah.
Or if you were as funny as everyone else in the chat room. So I lied about my age all the time. I was 11 or 12, I don't remember exactly. And yeah, very legal. I'm in jail right now talking to you guys. But I told everyone I was 16. And at the time, there was another very big phenomena that was developing, and that was cyber sex. I had told these girls who were one of two things, by the way. They were either also 11-year-old girls pretending they were 16, or they were 45-year-old men talking to me. But I would like cyber sex with them. Right? I had no idea how to describe sex for what it's worth. And I would send them messages of what I thought sex was. And they were so far off. And I came home from school one day, and my mom was sitting in the living room.
Oh, no.
And she had this huge stack of papers in her hand.
Oh, no.
And she said, "Hey, Wes, sit down. I want you to read these out loud to me."
Oh, no.
It was every single cyber sex conversation I had ever had with anyone. She had parental controls on it. I didn't know it. And she made me read all of it out loud to her. And that was, hands down, the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to me in my life. I still can't look my mom in the eye.
Why you drink.
Yeah, right?
No, it's definitely because I'm in this man's basement and eating fingernails, though.
What's crazy is Mark Zuckerberg knew it all. Like, even back then, he knew.
Yeah, absolutely. He probably was the person I was talking to.
Mm. You know what's really sad is you still ended up in that man's basement despite your mom's best efforts to get you not to end up there.
Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced my mom isn't a part of this whole situation.
I mean, you did read a lot of disgusting stuff to her, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. She's like, he's a deviant, he must go.
But that, I mean, it does just remind me of like freaking like Habbo Hotel and stuff like that. Do you guys remember that stuff? The early days. I mean, that's not even that early, but you know.
Go ahead.
So when it comes to internet lingo, like, I've always been, as with most things in my life, extremely curmudgeonly about it. One of the things I always hated about Twitter was that, like, a lot of words that were long would take up so much space that you couldn't, you know, you had to either abbreviate them or just not make your point. And it always just made me cringe because I like using full word sentences and the proper, like, grammar and everything. Mm-hmm. And you really couldn't always do that. So, like, when people would leet speak and like internet lingo at me, I always just, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I judged the fuck out of them. I was just like, you are like, especially like in AIM and stuff like that. Like, if you all remember AIM.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. I'd be talking on there and I'd be like using complete sentences and periods and apostrophes and shit like that. And then somebody else be like, lol, what? And I'd just be like, I'm going to block you now.
You know what I think the worst offender for leet speech was, and to this day, if I see it, I get like angry. It was te instead of the.
Oh, no. I remember that.
Yeah.
Nintendo. I was like, oh my god. So help me God, if I wasn't chained up in this basement right now, I would come to your house.
I mean, it's pretty good they provided you with the internet and everything, but.
No, when you think about it, like a lot of like leet speak came as like abbreviations and stuff like that to type things out real quick. Te is literally the same fucking words, just like fucked up spelling. Yeah. You fucked up spelling the. That's the whole thing.
I think part of it was this ironic thing, though. Like, it was an intentional misspelling because you're typing so fast you can't even get the correct, right?
You know, like, you know who does that, though?
That's how intense the game is, etc.
But do you know who does that?
don't offend people, bro. We need them to listen to the show.
I'm going to tell you exactly who does that. Fucking Jagoffs. That's who does that.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
It's also where, you know, pawn came from, like get pawned.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It was the same seed.
Yeah. God, I don't miss those.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, just the whole thing just grosses me out and, like, just makes me feel disgusting even dealing with it. And I'm not even saying, like, I'm, like, the most grammatically correct person on planet Earth, and I certainly don't spell things right all the time, but...
But you try.
Yeah, I'm making a fucking effort. You know?
I mean, there are certain things that bug me, like when a lot of words nowadays do get added into the dictionaries. And it's this difficult thing because language becomes what it is because we do shorten it, you know? We do... bastardized language as time goes on, and we do change words and stuff, but I'm not particularly happy being a generation that has added some of the things that we are going to add.
Ugh.
Like creating a word like selfie and then using it instead of can you take a photo of me, saying can you take a selfie of me. Nope, that's actually impossible for me to do because that would require you to take it of yourself. Like, there are certain things that we are not necessarily doing the best. I prefer to write in full sentences and capitalize and punch, you know, do all that sort of stuff. But like, you get to a point where you just have to accept that not everyone is going to do it, because some people's lives are just so busy that they just can't, you know, they can't take that extra 30 seconds to, like, you know.
You know what? I'm fine with that. Just don't ridiculous. Talk to me then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like it's a really weird situation. Like, I think the only time that I would ever let go though is back when I used to play Dota. My word, there was not enough time to type correctly. If I want to flame people, you know, I've got to do it quickly before I miss my chance.
Can I just make all of you really angry for a second and read off a couple of words that got added to the dictionary last year?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, I don't hate myself.
Please do.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Paul, please shut up. Binge watch. Not so bad. Not such a bad offender. Facepalm. And get ready for the worst of all three. There's a huge list here, but I've picked out these three, and I saved this one for last. This is just for you, Martin. Weak sauce.
Oh my God! Shut the fuck up.
What?
Yep, it's in the dictionary.
Do you know what really frustrates me though? Is I've actively said weak sauce.
Ooh, I'm part of the problem. You're a part of the problem. Yes,
I'm a part of the problem.
Oh no!
But I know it's not a real word. When I say it, I know it's real.
Like, apparently, it is.
Whether the word is real, like, do you feel good about yourself when you use that word in a sentence?
Yeah, you made this happen.
I never feel good about myself. You know this about me. Oh, that facepalm though. Like the two words on their own mean what you know. Like they don't need to be.
No.
Yeah, a single word.
That makes me a little bit.
I mean, to be fair, they could be worse. Sad, and I can't remember what it was now. Oh, this is gonna bug me.
This year, I predict they will add cringeworthy to the dictionary.
Oh, is that not already?
I think that cringe and worthy are in the dictionary.
You would hyphenate that, right? Like something is cringeworthy, it would be cringe hyphen worthy.
Well, facepalm is hyphenated in the dictionary.
Okay, damn. If they do add it though, pretty ironic.
Yeah, you guys all owe me money and have to come save me from this basement.
I don't think either of those things are true.
Okay. On fleek has been added to the
dictionary. Oh, okay. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. The one.
I still don't know what that means.
I don't think I can.
I do now. It apparently means jealously styled, groomed, etc.
Oh, I thought it meant I don't respect myself or anyone else.
That's how the rest of us define it.
Which is quite funny, actually, because I was going to make a joke about how on Fleek you just have a picture of me because I'm so stylish, but also a picture for me works perfectly for your description as well.
So.
Oh, man.
So it sounds like we're all pretty much on the same boat for internet lingo, which is kind of funny considering we are people who are on the internet for a large majority of the time, but maybe because of a lot of our vested interests in kind of cohesive storytelling, etc.
That we're not require... a bunch of gaping dirty assholes.
Right. It's not. I mean, well, first of all...
Can you just start saying what you really mean, Brian? It's really hard to get emotions from you sometimes because you just are so veiled.
Right. Like, you know,
you've got to open up.
As long as you're going to say we're not all gaping assholes, I just want to say, you know, speak for yourself.
First of all, I said gaping dirty assholes. So.
Yeah,
right.
He did specify.
Get it right.
All this talk about dirty buttholes has me opening a private tent.
Yeah. Full circle, we're back.
Oh, I just hashtag facepalmed.
What?
Nothing.
What?
You'll have to listen to the episode.
Oh, I say.
God damn it. Listen back. Shit.
Oh god. No, god, I'm still bummed out about the On Fleek thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, I thought Weak Sauce was bad. I'm just sitting here actually thinking about On Fleek.
Like I wanna it makes me wanna just like be one of those people that lays on the bottom of the shower as like the cold water pours over me while I'm eating soggy cookies and just crying.
First of all, why do you think that's normal and there are people out there eating soggy shower cookies? Am I the only one who doesn't know this happens, or are you the anomaly?
Apparently there's a fad going on right now where people are eating oranges in the shower. And it's oranges? Supposed to be, like, super invigorating and vitalizing.
Can I just quit the human race?
The worst thing about having an orange is dealing with the consequences of having just eaten an orange.
Yeah, and that's what the one person said. They said, like,
the early onset dementia and diarrhea.
Another reason why it's good to be in the shower.
Oh,
all right. Can I just I just found a list of like really beautiful words. I feel like we can't end discussing those.
Yes.
Let's just have some like really good words, right? Like all this one really just appeals to me. I don't know why this is nothing personal, but solitude. Now that, right?
Yep.
What a good word.
Yeah. Satisfying.
Yeah.
Luminescence.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes.
I used that word in my Galactic Mystics last night in my attack.
You did.
There you go.
My luminescent strike.
Phosphenes? Do you know what phosphenes is?
No, I don't.
It is the light and color that's produced by rubbing your eyes. Now, isn't that a beautiful word?
Huh. But...
yes. I think we should all say our favorite word.
Oh.
Oh.
Yes.
Ooh.
I know mine right off the bat. It's been my favorite word since I learned it.
Go on, lead us in.
Clandestine.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Oh. That is a good one.
Oh.
It's a great word. Spoon is my second favorite word.
Mashed potato.
Oh, God.
Well, now that's my favorite word. But only when Griff says it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I have
a word that I don't know if it's a real word, but I saw this word that's supposed to mean the strange wistfulness of used bookshops. I will always remember this word is velica. But my favorite word is defenestration. Because it's the act of throwing someone out of a window. I am a big fan of having words that act as specific as that.
Yes. That is incredibly specific. I love it.
It really is.
Oh, God. What's my favorite word?
Don't overthink it. Tacos.
No, it's... I know it's like on the tip of my tongue, but I'm thinking about it.
I'm just going to throw a couple words out. Gaping. Dirty. Asshole.
Well,
yellow, isn't it?
No,
it's on fleek. Just tell us the truth.
Oh, God.
You caught me.
Yeah.
I'm the on fleek bandit. No, it's,
I think mine's titillizing.
Oh, good word.
Yeah.
There's a lot about that word I like.
It's got a lot of layers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
He wants to remove them all.
I'm going to play to my role and just say masturbating.
Well, hey.
All right.
Great word.
Yeah.
It's a great word.
Mashed potato.
While masturbating.
And there he goes, yeah.
It's very titillating.
Mm. Oh, nice.
One might say it's a clandestine mission.
There we go.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
We done it. We did a podcast.
Mike,
that's how you do a fucking podcast, everybody.
is anyone still high? Is anyone else here? Is this just us now?
Yeah.
Wes, thank you so much for hanging out with us, joining us, chatting with us.
Derailing you.
I got derailed so many times. It felt so good.
Yeah, you're about to get derailed, you know?
Oh, and then re-rail.
Oh, God. And thank you to the audience for hanging out with us today at the Nerdy Point of View podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at CPTSugarBear. That's at Captain Sugarbear. Or at SoulBearProd. On Twitter. That is the Soulbear RPG, the company that I co-own with one Quinn Sullivan. You can find all of the shit that we work on both those Twitter accounts. Carrie, where are you on the internet and what are you working on?
Okay, I'm holding back a burp, so if I burp in the middle of this, I'm...
Once again, folks, that's the Nerdy POV podcast, the most professional podcast on the internet.
I don't think so, we ever claimed that even one time.
No.
Wait, that's not the tagline? Sorry, carry on.
Speaking of derailing.
So you can find me on Twitter, DeviantArt, Instagram, and all those social media fun places under Shrieke, S-H-R-I-E-K-E-E. You can watch me on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Threads of Fate. Or you can see me and Brian at Galactic Mistakes on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our Star Wars campaign.
Right on, right on. Martin, where are you on the internet? What are you working on?
So you can find me also on Twitter at Grifolion, which is at GRYFFOLEON. Also over on twitch.tv/Grifolion. I don't really know what we're going to be playing at the time this comes out, but it will be something. And look, that's all I can promise you right now. I'll be live on the internet saying words with my mouth. Maybe words like mashed potato. Mm. Who knows?
One can only hope.
Right?
One can.
Yeah. All right, Wes.
We'll put the gravy on your mashed potatoes.
Sorry, I need a moment now.
It'll be a very salty gravy. Wes!
Twitch has rules.
Where are you on the internet? What are you working on, bud?
Hey, guys. I really appreciate you having me on the podcast. You can find me online in any AOL teen chat room. My username is SoccerBoy. That's with an I, 6969. I am 12 years old, male, and I live in North Carolina.
Currently found in a basement.
No, okay. Seriously, though. I have a Real Play D&D 5e podcast that people seem to be liking. So far, so good. We are called Hit Dice with an exclamation point. We are on the Twitter. We are on the iTunes. Or if you want to talk to me personally, I'm at Rat King now on Twitter. I think that's about it.
Right on. Don't forget, you can also find the show on Twitter at Nerdy at Nerdy POV. Words are fucking hard. And check out all of our new episodes and our legacy episodes at nerdypointofview.com. Make sure to also check out our Facebook page and join our growing Facebook community as well. We even have a Discord channel if you're into that sort of thing. Make sure to reach out to the podcast on Twitter and we'll make sure you get that link. Of course, if you liked what you heard, it would help us out immensely if you could leave us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. We are a small show, but we would like to grow, and we can do that with your help. Also, make sure to like and retweet the episode and share us with your friends, especially if you like us. If you don't like us, don't tell people. You know, just keep it between us.
But if you don't like us, send us to people you don't like, because they might like us in sort of like a, do you see what I'm going for there? Like kind of a merging of interest.
Yeah, sort of like a Black Mirror kind of way.
You can still help us out, you know? Exactly, yeah.
With that, we have our community shout out. And since we have Wes on the show, I thought, Wes, why don't you tell us some more about Hit Dice?
Okay, Hit Dice has been described by the masses as America's favorite 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Some reviews say we are on fleek, and others say we are the opposite of weak sauce.
Oh, God.
No, me and my players...
One person just facepalmed.
I immediately regret this.
Okay, hold on, let me get serious. So I have been playing Dungeons & Dragons for a very long time. I have a group of very solid players, and we are playing through a homebrew campaign of mine right now that I'm very proud of, and I think you will enjoy very much. If you'd like to join us, you can head over to our Twitter to have a conversation with us. You can check out our podcast in iTunes. It's Hit Dice with an exclamation point. It's really easy to find because we have all 5-star reviews. We're incredible. And if you're not already checking it out, you should.
Yeah, no, seriously, if you're not listening to Hit Dice, you're fucking doing life wrong. I don't always have a lot of time to listen to, you know, various shows and whatnot. So, you know, I kind of expected to give the show a listen and be like, oh, you know, that was fine. What I did not expect was to be tuning in every week and actually being really hooked on it. So that's unusual for me. So that tells you the quality of the show. Unless you think I have shit taste, in which case, first of all, you're fucking wrong.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. and second of all was fuck you. So Wes covered that for me already. So.
Yeah, despite the fact that he doesn't like Reese's Pieces, you still should listen to his podcast.
Whoa, who doesn't like Reese's Pieces?
Brian.
The garbage.
Yeah, right?
What?
I know,
Yeah. What do you not like about Reese's Pieces?
Let's see. There's the fact that they're hot trash.
Oh.
That's the main thing. They taste like little fucking shit pellets.
I've never seen a Reese's Pieces on a DiGiorno pizza before, so I'd like to see you prove that they're hot pieces of trash.
Oh, what? Damn.
No, I think my brain just tweaked. Like, I heard an audible snap in the back of my brain. Like, I was trying to do the mental gymnastics to get to how you got to that, and it just, like, face-planted, and it totally missed the mat, just, like, right into the gym floor.
Yeah, and you deserve that.
Oh, God. Well, you can go be like E.T. and suck a dick.
Yeah, this episode is brought to you by Reese's Pieces.
If it is absolutely not.
Reese's Pieces, you're a Reese's piece of shit. Oh,
yes! Beautiful.
Oh my God. Well, if you like this episode or you want to shit all over me for not liking Reese's Pieces, make sure to reach out to any of us. We love to talk to you. Sometimes it's hard to get back to you, but we always try to get back to every message that we possibly can. With that, is there anything else you guys want to add before I end this shit show?
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Mashed potato.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to happen. I'm so excited.
Oh, very God, I'm hard as a rock. Carrie, take us out. I feel like you've done this one already.
Yeah, I had nothing planned this time.
I like the fact that reviews are going to be like, yes, the outro song's just a riveting <now."
laughs> I realized I should have done like a porn tune. Like, no, it's hard to do with the
news. No, you can do it. Whoa. You have to do the... In between the notes, like,
yes. Can you do that while I do the bow chicka wow wow?
Absolutely. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, yeah. Bam. Bow chicka wow wow chicka wow chicka wow wow. Yeah, we got a soundtrack right there.
Oh, yay.
Yes.
Yes.
I hate this show.